Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's a wonderful song. You hear it, I'm sure, in many occasions, many places. It's the personal testimony of the author, John Newton. John Newton is a young man, left home, a rebel. He went to sea to be a sailor like his father, and through so many years far away from home, far away really from God, and he joined in the slave trade. He himself became a slave of slaves. One particular voyage, he was in the midst of a terrible storm, and a great wave comes over the ship and washes him into the sea. And miraculously, another great wave comes again and lifts him up and places him back on the ship. And finally, God had gotten his attention. And he came to Jesus Christ, and his life was changed. And he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And he entitled his song, Amazing Grace. So today, let me talk to you about grace. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and I ask the question, what is grace? Well, if you've been at Stanley Heights very long, you know the definition that we share. Grace is God giving me opportunities I don't deserve and power I don't have. Grace is God giving me opportunities I don't deserve and power I don't have. And when John Newton wrote the song that was really the testimony of his life story, he's saying, God's grace is amazing. He gave opportunities I didn't deserve and power that I didn't have. And today we're going to meet three men who also have their own testimony about grace. They have their own story about grace. Each of these men, very well known, but what wonderful stories, and each has a story to tell. The first man we're going to meet is Abraham, and then we're going to meet a man named David, and then we're going to meet a man named Paul. And as we look at their lives, we're going to learn what they can tell us about grace. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us today. So Lord God, we are so grateful to come to you, and we come humbly and anticipating that you are a God that reaches out to people like us. And it's been so wonderful to have these friends with us who serve us so well and others in our community as well as our church family. And it is so good to be reminded of the service that we enjoy, though we oftentimes just don't really think about it. So we thank you for it. And now we're going to be reminded about grace. And so it is our hope and our expectation by faith, though we come humbly asking you to speak to us as individuals, as the word is proclaimed, and we seek to explain and share the word, what you have said already. But our hope is that you, in a personal way, have individuals on your mind, and you are going to speak to them in an individual and life-changing way. And so we ask for the Spirit's enabling power and yield to him for this in his control or filling, as the Bible calls it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's meet Abraham. And here's what Abraham has to say. Let me tell you what I have discovered about grace. Now, who was Abraham? Abraham was the father of the Jewish people, the progenitor of the Jewish people. And verse 1 reminds us of this when he says, when God says to us here in chapter 4, verse 1, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Paul, the human author, is Jewish, and he speaks of his own lineage. What did Abraham find? And when you read the word "found," the term that the New Testament term for this is the term "eureka." Maybe you remember learning sometime about Archimedes, the ancient Greek scholar who crawled into a bath. And when he sat down in the bath, he realized that as he sat down in the bath, the water level raised. And he realized the answer to a long time problem he had been working on: how do you take odd-shaped objects and determine their density? And he realized when he sat down that as his body weight displaced the water, they could then measure this. He was so excited about what he found out. The legend goes that he jumps out of the bath and he starts running through the city of Syracuse and he's yelling, "Eureka! Eureka! I found it!" Now, if he did that today, how many of you think one of our finest would find him? And how many of you would be glad for that? So God says, "Here's what Abraham found. I found it." What did Abraham discover? "God gives me opportunities I don't deserve and power I don't have by faith." And so we read in verse 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works," if he could stand righteous because he was doing all this stuff and he could do it just because he was that good of a guy, "then the Bible says he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Here's why God helped him to understand that you can only be righteous by faith. Because otherwise, you get glory for yourself and not to God. Salvation by grace reveals God's glory. I can't do it on my own. I need God. And so by faith, I take God at his word. Now, Abraham had quite a life story. We've been in a series on learning about God by his names. And we've met Abraham a few times in our journey together. But what a life story. An old man and an old woman. God had promised a son. They didn't have any children. Impossible humanly. And yet God gave them this miraculous son. But God, before God gave them their son, the Bible says this, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16, or verse 6, and it's quoted here in Romans, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham didn't wait until that little baby was born and the miraculous child came before he believed God. No, he believed God by taking God at his word that God would do that which he could not do on his own. And God looked at him and God said, "You are righteous in my sight, not because of you, but because you have trusted me and my word by faith." Now, imagine that you were going to give one of your children a brand new $50,000 car. Wow. So you tell your child, "Hey, I'm going to give you a brand new car. I'm not a car guy. I don't know what is a $50,000 car." In early service, I said, "If you know what a $50,000 car is, come tell me, because I don't know." Nobody came to tell me about it, so I guess they didn't know either. But think, so your child says, "Oh, Dad, $50,000, that's way too much. Let me help you with that." "Well, I'm willing to do it, but if you want to help, you can help." So that child goes to the drawer and opens the drawer up, and a little extra stash of cash there, reaches in and pulls out a quarter and brings you a quarter. "Here, let me help." A quarter. Okay. You buy this car, $49,000, $49,999.75 you pay for that car. Well, your child is cruising in their new $50,000 car. Boy, they got a sweet ride, sweet ride. And somebody says, oh man, that is an awesome car. That is a sweet ride. Yeah, it's a sweet ride. My dad and I bought it. Wait, dad and I, what'd you do? Well, if God could say, you say, you know, I'm in heaven, but listen, God and I did this together. Who's getting the glory? But wait a minute. There are things that you can't do on your own. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn forgiveness. It's something that only God can give by grace. You receive it by grace. And the only way is you take God at His word. God said that if I will put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He forgives sins. God said that when things are overwhelming, He gives power that I don't have. And I take Him by His word. And that is faith. And then God opens up the doors of grace for power that you don't have and opportunities that you and I don't deserve because we've taken Him by His word by faith. Have you ever known people that you can't believe? I mean, you just can't trust them. They tell you, so you can't trust them. How many of you know someone like that? Yeah. The ultimate compliment, I guess, is that if somebody says they're going to do it, that their character is so that you can have the utmost confidence that that person will follow through with what they said. Boy, that's a great compliment, isn't it? And friends, God is a God that will always be true to Himself, His own character, and His own promises. And you can absolutely trust Him. And if He says to you that if you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will, by you do so by faith, that He will graciously forgive, He will graciously forgive. Oh, salvation by grace reveals God's glory and salvation by grace receives God's gift. A gift is to be received. You will find a term that is used repeatedly in this chapter in the book of Romans. Sometimes it's the word, it's translated, and I won't walk you through each count. Sometimes it's translated reckon. Sometimes it's translated impute. Sometimes it's translated counted. It's used over and over and over again. How many of you know if somebody says something over and over and over again, they're trying to tell you something and get your attention and let you know, you need to know this. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? And God says it over and over and over again because He's trying to get our attention. And it's a term that is used that means this. It means that someone has deposited money in your bank account. You haven't earned it. They have just given their money and they put it in your account so you're free to use it and enjoy it for whatever reason you want. But they just put money in your bank account. Their money is imputed to your bank account. And God reminds us then in verse 3, for what set the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, by imputation, you and I were sinners. Adam, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, in my Bible, it's just a page turn. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for the law of sin. Sin was put on my account because of Adam's sin. And if it weren't just for Adam, if it were just me, I put enough on my account myself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just me. But that's why God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, as the eternal God in human form, who had never sinned, gave Himself so that you and I who are under Adam's curse and the curse of sin, He would pay that penalty because someone has to pay. And He took that. And then, here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God hath made Jesus sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the moment that I, many years ago, put my faith in Jesus Christ alone, all of my sin It was put on his account. He paid for it. And his righteousness, by faith, God put on my account. Wow. Wow. You say, that's absolutely amazing. You're saying that anybody in the world can know that their sin and the penalty was put on his account and they can have his righteousness. No matter who you are, no matter where I came from, whatever my story, all of us have our own story, our own background. Yeah, I'm telling you, anybody. But you say, well, that's amazing. And I say, yes, that is amazing grace. Have you received that amazing? See, grace isn't earned. Grace has to be received. Well, Abraham's testimony, let me tell you what I've discovered about grace. God gives opportunities I don't deserve and power I don't have by faith. Well, there's another story we read about in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And this is a story of David. Read with me if you would. Follow along in your Bible, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, here's what David's testimony is. His testimony is, let me describe for you what I learned about God's grace. And here's what David learned, verse 6, that grace could do for me what I could never do. You read about it in verse 6 again. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. See, I could never be good enough to earn forgiveness. And David said, I know the blessing that God did for me, what I could not do for myself. You say, well, how could David describe such grace? David was known as a man after God's own heart, a great king in Israel. But along the way, David made very foolish choices. His heart strayed from the Lord. And when he was far away from God, he made some choices that were capital offenses. He was immoral. And then to cover up his immorality, he set a man up to be murdered. Both of which were offenses that under the law, he should have been killed. But yet, David wrote these words when he wrote his song. Newton wrote his song. David wrote his song about that event. He wrote two of them, actually. And one of the songs he wrote was Psalm 32, blessed, and it's quoted here, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He could sing about it and tell about it because he experienced what it meant when God did for him what he couldn't do. He deserved judgment. And yet he describes it with these words that there are some things only God can do. Only God can forgive sins. And only by his grace, iniquity is forgiven, we read in verse 7. Let's say you have a friend who steals from you $10. You're looking in your pocket, you're looking in your billfold, you're looking through your purse, if whatever you're looking. And you're, where'd that, I know I had that $10. I know I had that. How many of you ever done that? I know I had that $10. And you can't find it anywhere. And you, where'd that $10 go? You hope it comes through the washer. But you can never find that $10. And let's say after a few months, your friend comes up to you and says, listen, I'm really embarrassed, but I got to tell you something. I stole $10 from you. Will you forgive me? Now, you have a choice. You can forgive or not forgive, right? But here's the thing. You can forgive your friend and not hold it against that friend anymore. But here's what you need to know. You need to know that even though he came clean with you, it still cost you $10. It always costs for sin to be forgiven. David says, I know the forgiveness of sin Because Christ has already made the way and paid the price. It cost him everything so I could have the experience of being forgiven. I could never do it, but he does it for me. He reminds us as well in verse 7 that these are blessed not only because their iniquities are forgiven, but their sins are covered. You see, God can do something that with our sin that you and I couldn't do. We can forgive, and when you forgive, then you don't hold it against somebody. If you tell somebody, oh, I forgive you, and you keep bringing it up to them again and again, you play it over in your mind, and you keep holding against them, you haven't forgiven. Don't deceive yourself. No, don't deceive yourself. You've really forgiven when you're willing to let it go. But there's something God can do that you and I can't do, because let's say that friend that stole your 10 bucks, how many of you know every time you see that person or you think about him, you always have that in the back of your mind. You know what I mean? Oh, you're looking at me like, oh, not me. Oh, come on. No. You're not holding, I'm not saying you're holding against him, but you know it's there. Listen to what God says he can do that you and I can't do. Micah, the prophet, says that God has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah the prophet says that God has cast our sins behind his back. The psalmist says, Psalm 103 verse 12, that as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us. They are covered and God has put them away, never to be brought up again, out of his memory. Wow, what a God. That's amazing grace. And then sin is not imputed. And David describes it finally in verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. What a story. I deserve death. God in grace forgave it all. That's a great story. Then there's one more guy we'll meet in the next few minutes we have together. And here's what the Apostle Paul, who's the human author of the book of Romans, God the Spirit led him and guided so that this word is God's word to us. And here's what Paul tells us about grace. Let me tell you what I know about God's grace. And he takes us again to Abraham's life and a walk down human history in the story of Abraham and the Jewish people. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? Now stop for a minute. What does that mean? God gave Abraham or the Jewish people a sign of a covenant he made with them. How he relates to people in a personal way. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And the sign that he gives them is the sign of circumcision. See, unlike all the other people of the world, they were to do with their little itty bitty baby boys, they had to circumcise those. It was a sign that they were unique of all the people in the world because of this relationship they had with God. And so he said, wait a second, does that mean, is this just for Jewish people? Or is it for everybody? And then God answers the question for us. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. No, because Abraham was made righteous, not because of circumcision, but because of faith. And then we read verse 10. How is it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? And the answer is no, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. God told Abraham in Genesis 12, this covenant, he made it in Genesis 15. He confirmed this covenant. That's where God said he believed God. It was counted unto righteousness. But then later in Genesis 17, God affirms the covenant again. And then God has Abraham circumcise everybody and said, this is the relationship or the sign of our relationship. But God declared Abraham righteous by faith before circumcision ever entered the picture. And for Jewish people, this was revolutionary. It's not about our lineage. It's about faith. And for Gentile people like me, I'm a Gentile people. It's not about my lineage and where I came from. It's about faith in God. And then we're told these words, verse 11, and he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. You see, the basis of God's grace has very little to do with my story and my background and all the opportunities that have been before me. It has everything to do with receiving forgiveness by grace. I can't do it, but God can. And take him at his word. Well, I was a Baptist. Well, I am so glad that God in grace, when I was a Baptist, reached down and saved me from my being a Baptist. Well, I walked an aisle, or I don't have any religious background, or whatever your story is. But whatever your story is really isn't significant. What's significant is that God is reaching out to you, and if you will, by faith, receive Christ, he will forgive sins and let you experience his grace. You say, was it just for some people? Oh, no, it's for all people. Look in your Bible at verse 12. And the father of the circumcision to them which are not, that is Abraham, which are not of the circumcision only, that's Jewish people only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. See, whether you're a Jewish person or a Gentile person, it doesn't matter. All people can experience God's grace by faith through Christ. So, are you a child of Abraham? Well, you may be. We have some Jewish people here who their lineage is Jewish. I happen not to be. I happen to be Gentile. But, you know, though I am not Jewish, not physically, I am a child of Abraham spiritually. Because by faith, long ago, I saw my need. I saw what Christ had done for me. And by faith, I believed on Christ. And not because of me, but because of grace, I was justified in God's sight. I became a child of God. But in a sense, a child of Abraham. For I, like Abraham, took God by his word. And you know, you can become a child of God like I did and like Abraham did by faith, taking God at his word that he died and rose again for you. You can be forgiven. I don't know if you know the name William Cooper. It's spelled C-O-W-P-E-R, but it's pronounced Cooper. He lived long ago. He was a very troubled man. Four times he tried to kill himself by jumping in the river Seine. Three times he tried to fail himself, or tried to poison himself, and he failed every time. You talk about a guy with bad luck, he couldn't even kill himself. Twice he had a gun put to his head, and he couldn't pull the trigger. He eventually was so troubled, he was committed to an insane asylum. He was walking around the grounds of this asylum. He comes to a bench on the grounds and he sits down, and there's a Bible left there, and he picks up a Bible and he just begins to read and read and read and read. And as he read the Bible, do you know what conclusion he came to? He came to the conclusion that he could not deal with his sin on his own. He came to the conclusion that God reached out when his son Jesus Christ came and rose, died on a cross and rose again. And by faith, William Cooper put his faith in Christ, and his life, albeit troubled, was changed. In his life, he became a songwriter. There are many songs that he wrote. But one song that he wrote that we still sing today, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What a great story of amazing grace. I want my story to be a story of amazing grace. And God wants your story to be a story of amazing grace. Would you stand with me, please?